This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. So glad to see you. 10 years going strong. In fact, I think in March of 2026, we'll be at 11 years. So excited to have been doing this for years and bringing this great content to the industry. We're going to see you at Vision, of course, this year, studio, and I'm teaching a class there, and so is my daughter, Tracy. So it's going to be great to be at Vision this year. Please, please sign up for Vision. And we're going to also be at the TST Big Event, March 28 in Tarryton, New York, 2026. Andrew Fisher, Ken Zanders, Adam Roberts are going to be there. Go to tstseminars.org, and the keynoter there will be Tracy. And if you're watching on YouTube, which you can right inside of our own app, please subscribe. And I have to tell you, man, I love our new app. It's for your smartphone, the Ultimate Professional Automotive Repair Playlist. Automotive Repair Podcast Network.com/app. You can download it, all kinds of links to get that thing up on your smartphone. Hey, look, thank you so much to our great, great partners of the last couple of years. Are you looking to take your shop to the next level? With NAPA Auto Care, you can deliver unbeatable customer confidence through the peace of mind warranty. Learn how to upgrade your service and grow your business. Connect with your local NAPA rep today. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NAPA Trax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Okay, let's get started. Hi, Lola.
Hey.
Lola Schmidt from Schmidt's Auto Care. She's the chief operating officer. You must have made Eric, your husband, the CEO somehow.
Yeah. It's what you get when you're the brainchild and the money hander over, right?
Wait a minute. That's an official title. I am the money hander over. Springboro, Ohio, under the same kind of threat of great snow and all this cold that we have up here in the Buffalo area. Look at, you guys are a four-day-a-week business.
Yeah, love it.
How long's it been?
This will be year six. We started in May of 2020.
Nice.
Fantastic move for us.
8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Does the entire staff work that?
Well, that's not true. My in-house content creator, she does a 9-to-5 or 8-to-5. And then our financial officer, she works remotely and independently. So she does what she wants.
All right. So Lola has done some episodes with me in the past, one of them with David Boyce, Town Hall Academy 458. Way back when I had the Aftermarket Weekly podcast episode out there, you did a shop tour with us, you and Eric. That was back in February of 23.
Oh, I was trying to remember when that was, actually.
You can't get that on the app, but we're working on adding it to the app as an archived show. But if you want to go to the website, AW146, Aftermarket Weekly 146C, inside of Lola Shop. Look, we're here to talk about some really cool things. Systems inside of hiring. This thing is going about the people, the HR side. We're going to talk about onboarding, creating a strong employee handbook. I'm sure everyone has one of those. And if we have an issue, we have to have a proper HR write-up.
Really fun topics.
You know what? Please do me a favor. Don't turn us off. Don't slide up. Don't slide left or whatever it is that you do to quit listening to a podcast that could very possibly teach you at least just one thing that you'd say, you know what? I can implement. I can do that or I can fix that. So that's what our whole objective here. Lola's out all over the country writing articles, speaking. And so gotten to know her and she does a great job. You ever get a chance to listen to Lola? Especially on that whole marketing and branding side, which is you're really, really good at. We may talk about that in another episode. But look, systems inside of hiring, there really are? Really?
Yeah. It seems like you should just be able to bring somebody in and talk to them and hire them. But it helps when there's a process or a system in place.
There has to be. Let's get beyond placing the ads and you found someone that comes in. There's got to be some items that would spark conversation that would really help you dig inside. And again, I think it's so important to have a cultural fit.
Yes. our first two-ish interviews that we do is really more about who they are as a person than what they can do. Before I ever have you in my shop, like physically in, I'm going to give you a phone call and we're going to have like a 5 to just 10 minute conversation. I just want to see how you are interpersonally as a person on the phone that I haven't met. Are you rude? Are you mannerly? Can you answer questions? Can you talk about yourself in a positive way? You know, I just want that general conversation. And I hate to say if it's a vibe, we'll move forward, but you do, you know, quickly kind of in the first 10 minutes of whether that's a person you want to move and spend another hour with or whether you just want to move on. And so that's really our first interview was a quick phone chat. And I'm only looking for your attitude at that time. That's it.
It's an attitude review, if you will. And I love that. I love that as considering interview one. But let me stop you for a moment and ask your opinion on something that I continue to hear from recruiters and everybody in the industry who's looking to hire people. They say it's awfully tough to get to the third interview with the shortage of really good talent that we have. And some people are on a dime hiring on first interview. And I have in my whole life never thought that that was a wise move.
No, you'll regret it every time. You have to do your due diligence with people. I get that your back is against the wall sometimes. I have had my back against the wall. That's why we now have this annoying hiring process, because we've made bad hires and this was our adjustments to fix it. And this has worked. Every single person that I ever just hired on a knee-jerk reaction or because I felt it in my soul or whatever it might have been, I have let them go or they have let themselves go. There is a reason that corporate America takes forever to hire people. They're doing their due diligence to not waste their time and money. We should adopt that same mentality, I think, in our businesses, in our shops.
You bring up such a great point, Lola. Oh my God, I had to ultimately adjust my hiring practices to find the right individual, adjust to fit, I think you actually said. It just doesn't take you more than one or two of these that you look back and say, total waste of my time, total waste of my effort. Why wasn't I more cautious? Why didn't I slow down a bit? Why didn't I stop to really think and look and listen and hear the things that I was hearing instead of saying, can you fog a mirror?
Fogging a mirror just means you got to wipe a lot of stuff off all the time. That is a mentality shift that you will just have to make inside of a shop, because I know there's a ton of people who are like, I have to have a tech right now. This tech says they can do this, but you actually have no verification process if they can, or if you're hiring in the front of your house, a service. This is for anybody that goes into your shop. Don't be swift with that hire. Do take your time. Slow and steady wins the race, right? So it's like, do these practices. So whatever it works for you, this is just what works for us. That short interview, 5 minutes, 10 minutes on the phone. Also, if they can't give you 5 or 10 minutes on the phone, I've had the techs seem to do it worse than service people. They'll be like, I don't have any time to talk. Just text me or email me, or I'll just come to the shop. Like, if you can't carve out 5 to 10 minutes for a new employer as well, that's usually a red flag for me too. So I'm looking to make sure that they can accommodate just as I can accommodate. So for us, that's that first kind of piece.
So a 5 minute phone call is all you really care. What are you getting out of that?
I can hear one, if they're going to make the phone call on time. Are you picking up when I call? Are you picking up, period? Are you competent to have a quick conversation? Can you communicate? Because you have to be able to communicate inside of our shop. I'm looking for language as well. Like, if you are literally just F-bombing me the whole time in the 5 minutes, you're just not my fit. And that's nothing personal. That's just our shop's culture. None of us want it.
Do you get a lot of that?
Yes. There's been 2 phone calls I've ended before 5 minutes. Just on blatant, what is it? Conversational respect, I guess.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? And I was discussing, who's I discussing this with? Oh, Tom Hamm, about this whole soft skills, social skills thing that a lot of our people today, and I'm not saying young or old, it just doesn't matter. They just don't get it and respect it.
There's a level of professionalism that we're looking for in our shop. That conversation lets me sort of see where you are in your professionalism level. And it has nothing to do with what you can or can't do in a bay or behind a sales counter. That's just who you are as a person. So, you know, if I like that, then you can come in for an interview and we're going to sit down and talk.
A real live interview. Do you prepare questions is my curiosity.
Yes, we have questions. We have questions for every different interview. I've got tech questions, tech one.
Got it.
I have tech two questions. I've got service advisor questions. Everybody has their own questions. But our first interviews, the only things that we're looking for out of it are, who are you as a person? Your why for why you're in our shop? And are we aligning? Like in that first interview, that first hour is usually what I have carve out and I invite them to an hour interview. We're usually wrapped up in about 45 minutes. I do try to be respectful of their time. But if the conversation is going well, I will ask, hey, can we talk a little bit longer? Are you cool to spend like 15 more minutes with me? Whatever it might be, I don't want them to feel like they have to rush out the door. If we're having a good conversation, let's continue. But I'm not asking a lot of hard technical questions at the time. It's very, why do you want to work with us? What would make you valuable to our team? What are your greatest achievements in life? You know, like some of those types of questions. My second interview, or my longer one, is when I'm going to get technical with you. And I'm not going to do that interview. At that point, you're talking to my managers.
Got it. That's what I was curious. When do you bring in your people?
Yes. After we've decided during the first interview, if you're a good culture and attitude fit, then we'll go to talk about aptitude.
So phone call, then X amount of time, doesn't matter, as long as you're feeling and learning the who, the why, or the alignment with this individual. I just can't help but think of this ghosting thing that's going on big time in the industry. So in the last year, how many times have you been ghosted?
Okay, so I have been fully staffed, so I did not have to do much interviewing last year. The people who I brought in last year all came to their interview and all of them came through. So the year before that, when I was trying to get the house in order, a lot, like 1 month I had like 37 no-shows. And I had like 60 some interviews scheduled and 37 of those were no-shows out of that month. I wanted to jump off a bridge that month.
Thank God you had a lifeline in Eric.
He probably didn't want to be my lifeline at that point.
What I'm hearing from you is, yes, ghosting happens to the best of us. But if you had that 5 minute, 8 minute pre-phone call, if you will, you still got ghosted after you felt right about this individual? Maybe they didn't feel right about you, no?
Oh, no, no, no. The phone calls were the ghosts.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was my main ghosts. And that's why it's so important. Lord, if they can't show up to a phone call.
And you're right. You're designing your entire day around this individual walking in the door and they ghost you. It's better that they ghost you on for the initial phone call than it is for all the other heavy lift that you're going to do in face-to-face. I got it.
Yeah, I work remotely like 99% of the time. So if I have to go into the shop to do a sit-down interview and you don't show up, I am going to find your address. I'm coming to your house. You've done wasted my whole time. So I'm going to have that phone interview is also for me too, to just be able to like not waste time with anybody. Like I can take a phone call from anywhere that I am in the whole world. So I'm ready for your interview. Are you ready for your phone call?
You have a really good gut to determine a person could be right for interview too. Your intuition, I guess, is your intuition like, oh my God, Lola, my intuition just, I know.
I think I've had to talk to so many people now. There's like things I listen for and things that I just automatically am like, I don't want this.
And you find a way to end the call.
You know, respectfully, professionally. Thank you so much. And we try to be very honest. Like if it's not a fit, like I'll let you know, like right then. Like we're going to let you know. I hate when employers just like, you never know if you got the job. You know, like I don't do that. I will immediately be like, hey, this is not a good fit for us. Thank you so much for coming in. Have a great day.
You bring such a great point up because we talk about ghosting people coming in for an interview. But if someone doesn't follow up and say you didn't get it, then the candidate believes that they got ghosted. And so that's why they have no problem, you know, having a ghost you attitude, right? So I love that.
I understand why there's jaded employees out there because they've been also treated poorly on the hiring process side of things or in the day-to-day workflow side of things. Like, I get it. We have to give what we expect, right?
As a NAPA Auto Care, you already know that your reputation is built on trust, reliability, and service. That's why every member automatically provides customers with the 24-month, 24,000-mile peace of mind nationwide warranty. Now, that's coverage your customer counts on and a competitive edge you can't afford to overlook. Want to deliver even more value? Well, you can upgrade to the 36-month, 36,000-mile warranty program. Even better, that extended coverage is also available when your customers use their NAPA credit card for qualifying repairs and service. With quality NAPA replacement parts built to meet or exceed OEM standards, you're not just offering competitive pricing and reliability, you're standing behind your work with the best warranty in the industry. Give your customers peace of mind wherever the road takes them and give your business the advantage it deserves. To get started, connect with your local NAPA representative today. Hey, stay ahead of the curve with NAPA Auto Care's newest auto tech initiatives, Fast Track Assessments, Accelerator Immersive Training, and Tech Assist Smart Support. The future of technician training is here. Connect with your local NAPA representative for more information. Hey, when customers choose a NAPA Auto Care Center, they get more than a repair. They get trust, savings, and peace of mind. Want your shop to stand out? Connect with your local NAPA representative and get the conversation started to become a NAPA Auto Care Center. Hey, you know the technician shortage is real, but NAPA Auto Care has a solution at no cost to members. The NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program builds tomorrow's technicians through a 2-year, 9-stage curriculum. Learn more at member.napaautocare.com or talk to your NAPA representative today. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Tracks always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRACS.com. Okay, so you made them an offer. They accept the offer. What happens next?
After you accept the offer is a big deal for us. Like, that's like a whole nother time we're going to meet. I'm probably going to take you to lunch. If we're doing it like cyber-wise, like a gift is going to magically appear at your house, like right after you accept. It's a big deal for us because you're coming to be on our team. So we make it a big deal. We have the call. We immediately start to send over employee handbooks, hiring paperwork for you to have filled out. I want that brought back to me filled out. You can email it back to me. You can bring it back to me on day one. But that's my first set of instructions for you. Can you fill out your hiring paperwork and then have it back on my desk for day one? So they're doing that. And then everything looks the same. Everybody's onboarded the same way at my shop. And you know exactly what your onboarding is coming in because I've sent you that packet ahead of time as well. It's about 2 weeks of onboarding with us, whether you're a tech or a service advisor. Service advisor is actually a little bit longer. But you go through, everybody in our team has a specialty. So you go through the specialties channels to learn. They train you in the different aspect that they're strong in to train you in, from literally how to open our garage doors and turn on our lights to closing up the shop to how to lift a lift up properly in the way we like it. I don't care how you did things at your old shop. At this shop, we're all going to do things the same way. So there's no questions in care. It's a definite onboarding. You're going to take turns. We're going to take you to lunch. Different people are going to take you to lunch over the next 2 weeks. You're going to learn the town. We're going to go on all the test drives together so you can learn the paths. Service kind of starts to go through a 90-day service onboarding because we have many different things set up that we work through in blocks with service. So that's a little different than technicians. And then the marketing has their own kind of like layout path as well. So it kind of just depends on what role you come in for, but it is all very laid out. And everybody at this point, because we have hired in several people, everybody is very, very good and apt at their role. And they're excited about their role. They got to pick what they wanted to train on. They're good at it. They're excited to bring somebody new in. So it just like embeds these people so nicely because you're not coming into a cold, stale shop. It's warm. It's welcoming. We are a team for real. Like I'm a small shop. I only have 10 people on staff. So you should get to know all 10 people.
That's not a small shop, but I know you're humble. How many bays do you have? Like 8?
I think we have like 12.
4 days a week. Domestic, Japanese, diesel, Tesla, and EVs, huh?
All of it.
And ADAS. When did you add that?
So we actually had our ADAS machine came in January of 2020. We were ahead of the curve and we had no idea how to use it. We spent a lot of money on a piece of machine. We never actually have gotten a return out of it because now, like we went in with all these valiant efforts. We were like, we're going to get with the body shops and we're going to get with like everybody. And then COVID came and we got to be with nobody. And then we should not have bought that piece of equipment at that time. And then like you're in survival mode for so long. And then we had one thing after the other happen. So ADOS just kind of, we pushed it into the corner, but actually it's starting to be used now. So it's come out several times over the last few weeks, actually.
Just glad to hear it. What I just heard you say the last 5 minutes was a comprehensive integration plan for every new employee that comes in. And I love the idea. Love the idea. Hey, put your toolbox here. Have at it. And that happens way too often in our industry where there's no training, no integration, no camaraderie, no lunches. And oh, by the way, I had this other crazy thought. You said we'll send them a gift to their house. Like, what do you send? A fruit basket or something?
I've sent a little bit of everything. So I have two people on my team that love to deep dive into whoever is coming on board. So they'll find out like all the goods on you. Like I knew that we had a guy that liked fishing. So we sent him a big fishing kit with a big stuffed fish and, you know, like whatever you're into.
It's almost the insurance that you're putting on that individual that doesn't get an offer from the place that they're currently at and they decide to stay after you've planned that 2 week come on in.
Okay. So I actually did have that one time. Where like the dealer, I think it was a dealer, or the shop just came back and offered them some obscene amount of money after they had like accepted the job and were like heading out the door. They did stay. That was like 2 years ago. So that sucked because you did plan and the team was excited and you had spent time with them. I'm also not going to play counter offer with the dealer. This is my offer. So I can give you a lot of value here. I'm not going back and forth.
Where does the employee handbook start fitting in here?
Oh, the employee handbook starts the moment. Actually, I will give you an employee handbook before I offer you the job so you can start reading through to even see if like around the second interview, I'll give that to you and be like, hey, start looking through this, read through this. That's also part of your homework because if you come back and let me know that you've really not looked at the handbook or you don't know some basic things, I'm going to assume you're not that interested in the job. I want them to know what's going on in the shop. It's not a secret what I have going on in my shop. If anything, the handbook is a huge benefit because I've had so many techs, probably like 95% of my techs have said, I've never even seen a handbook at a shop before. And that's some of them coming from like a dealer who I would think would have a handbook like corporately. Apparently, I'm the only one with a handbook.
And you're still doing it all right because it ends up being at the end of the day, if there's ever an HR issue, right?
It's so helpful.
So the handbook is another indication if they're willing to come in and live in your disciplines and in your culture.
It's very clear cut. You know who we are. If you're reading, you can read the first paragraph, which is just an opening welcome paragraph and be very clear about what we want out of our shop and what we're expecting and what we're willing to come to the table with as well.
I love the idea that you're passing it out ahead of time before they even commit. Maybe in the second interview and you really got a good feel here, will you sometimes not give a handbook out or will you always give a handbook out?
If I'm not giving it out, it's literally just on my own negligence of just not giving it out. If I feel like I'm going to maybe invite you in, I'm going to hand it out.
You're going to hand it out. No secrets there.
No, I've no gatekeeping on what you're doing. This person's going to commit time to you and talents to you. I feel like we owe them that.
They've got to understand your structure, your disciplines, your cultures, your methods, your protocols. They've got to understand all of that because that's what they're coming into. They're coming into an employee handbook, if you will, that's got all the guides of how you have a lovely life here working for Schmitz.
I try to remove all the questions, all the stuff that like I said on a lot of forums, and I laugh all the time because people are like, I don't know how to get a vacation. I don't know when my owner pays me a vacation or when I can take a day off. I don't know when I'm off. Nobody ever knows what holidays they're off. I'm so confused all the time on why people would want to work in facilities where they don't know how to, they don't know what they get with their job or how to access things. It's interesting to me.
How do you really feel when you see that?
I'm somewhere between enraged and sad, honestly.
Wow, I love that. Enraged or sad. But that was such an honest answer, Lola. Really, I get it.
I feel like we can do better. Like, as owners, you take a big responsibility to people when you become an owner. It's not just open a bay and turn a wrench. Especially if you're going to hire people, you need to be prepared to hire people.
Okay, we have an issue. We have to do an HR write-up. Give me your high level, how to properly write that will actually ultimately help you in an unemployment case if that's an issue.
Okay, these are very important. It's not a fun subject. Nobody likes to talk about it. But if you are going up against unemployment, they're going to be looking for accurate detail and information, not your feelings on the subject. Dates, times, if this has been a conversation, is that conversation documented? Is the accident documented? Is whatever it may be, is there past documentation that was verbal? Is there video? Is there writing in place? They do not want to see words like, I feel like the employee, you know, didn't do XYZ. They want to see, does your employee handbook or does your wage and benefits or does your whatever you promised them align with what's gone on? What rule did they break? You can't just make up rules in the middle of the workday. So for us, it would be very detailed. The paperwork looks the same. Date, time, occurrence, facts that support it, that are not like if going into a case, you know, of law, facts. That's it.
No feelings, just facts.
No feelings, just your facts. And as long as you have things lined up, all of that should be very clear.
It's got to be in the manual. It's got to be in the handbook.
Got to be somewhere, whatever you want to call it.
It could be a documented policy. You know, it could be a process that was ultimately broke that created a very grievous thing. To your point about the handbook or the policy, the protocol's manual for the business, it's got to be written down. And there's got to be a signature that says, I know it, I get it, I understand it. Because, well, I thought they knew. You can't go into a, if you will, a challenge to an HR issue or unemployment without your total ducks in order. Listen, in the past, I've had that issue in my own businesses in the past, and you win some and sometimes you lose them, and then you learn. It's this major learning curve that I never documented that thing that caused this issue and cost me money.
Yeah. There's been several times we've had to edit the handbook because I've gone, thought I had the language buttoned up really well. And then when I go to the, you know, the case, because I'll appeal it until we get to the phone call case if I have to. And when I present my evidence, I've literally had the lawyer on the other side be like, blah, 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 blah. And it would just be because like a word like was just not used correctly or whatnot. So like the nuances matter. Which is also why I tell everybody, if you're going to do an employee handbook, you need to make sure a lawyer looks over it because you can't just be making up rules in your business. Like they have to be legal rules. Do the due diligence there as well.
But so many payroll companies today can help you with all of that.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot. We use Patriot payroll software and they've just launched this huge back-end HR software. If I was just starting, it would be like amazing to be able to use. Now, I limped along with all that at the beginning.
All the majors, they can get you kicked off. That's how I look at it. Listen, here's the skeleton of we've interviewed you. We've understood what you have. We know what kind of business. We have other clients like you. Let us get this if you will, version one of your handbook created. Now, you've got to still lift your eyes, lift your mind, lift your pen, and work this document in every step of the way, knowing that this is a legal thing that you could be challenged on. So sometimes I always look at things and say, well, I'm getting too granular. Well, maybe not. You have to weigh that out to your point about having a lawyer ultimately at the end of the day review it.
Somebody with different eyes than you.
That's a great point.
That's not really attached to your business, you know, because if other people in your business are reading it, they're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Maybe it's not.
You're 100% right. Yeah. A different perspective, someone who doesn't really live the day to day and could say, well, that's not that important. That'll never happen to us. No. An attorney. And again, I think you're right about having it. It needs to be an attorney, because that attorney, every time that attorney reads something, Lola, they're going to think of how would I defend this or how would I persecute this while they're reading it.
The same one that would go to any of our court cases, if we had any. They're the same one that's dealt with anything legal with us, is the same one that looks over it for sure.
Have you been lucky and not had any big issues?
Yeah, we've not really had any tremendous issues through time. We've been very lucky, very blessed.
So you still have a strong manual, both processes and HR, because you're protecting yourself, not only on the legal side, but just through the great workings of your business.
You work really hard to build something, right? Like, you want to protect it. It takes a long time to realize that this really protects both people. It's not just, you know, it protects your employees, but it also protects your business.
You said a mouthful. I think the ultimate feel for this episode is you do everything in your power to protect your business, and that is recruiting and terminations, or, you know, it's first offense, whatever you have to do. And then in between, the processes that are going on, the protocols inside the shop, are not only for your own safety issues, but for a great client experience.
All of it's for the guests at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. There's a lot here. Here's the objective. Lola didn't come on to say she's an expert or to make you an expert. She's here saying, and I love to say, pay attention.
Please.
Any final words?
Reflect what you're passionate about in your business and document it for your people.
Wow. I love that. Another great title of this episode. Lola Schmidt, thank you so much. Schmidt's Auto Care, Springboro, Ohio, along with husband Eric and their great 4-day-a-week business. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.